Did you bring your Bibles with you? Yeah. I love this book. I love this book. This book was compiled very many years ago. It's an ancient book. It's long-standing. It succeeded many people over the course of time. It was sort of, we believe it was co-authored by about 44 people that God used, inspired to put it together. And it has really survived the course of time. We believe that it is a very word of God. We believe that this book does not necessarily point us, at least me and my wife, this is what we believe, that this book does not point us to any set of moral sort of behavior. We don't think it points necessarily to any sort of ethical thinking. We think that this book points us to a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. And so anytime we open this book, at any stage that we open it at, we think we can encounter who Jesus is in our lives. And so we are very open to that fact. And so this morning I'm going to be teaching from this book. I'm going to be talking about what I believe Jesus' cause for our life is, what he desires for us to have in our lives. And so I'm going to invite you to just engage with me as I engage in this book. I want to talk to you, and I would like to talk to you this morning about a subject which I think has become very dear to my life now. And I didn't know necessarily when this was born, when this thought was born to me, and I was thinking about it this past week, and I think it was born in an instance when I began Bible school and I started doing my master's in Bible early in the year. And the very first class that I took, the professor asked a question, and his question was, who is God? Who is Jesus? And who are you? Maybe the order was reversed. Who are you? Who is Jesus? And who is God? And the students were then open to respond to that question. And the students responded, God is almighty creator of heaven and earth. God is an awesome being. God, not necessarily a being, but God is an awesome creator. And Jesus, of course, is savior of our life. He's the one that lived on earth, came as God, lived on earth, and he bore the image of God for us. And he came to show us who God was, and he came to point us back to God. Jesus, of course, was crucified, and he died. And then he rose up to the third day, and in his resurrected power, he ascended up to heaven, where he now resides on the right-hand side of the Father. And of course, he's ever interceding for us there, so he has our best interest at heart, right? And God, and then the students came to the third question, to addressing the third question, and that question being, who are you? And almost every single student responded to that question, I am worthless. I am a sinner. I am evil. I am a bad person. I have done no good to deserve what I have. I think, oh yeah, the last part is probably true. But oh my word, what words we use to describe ourselves when we have used such beautiful words to describe our maker and creator. And it got me thinking along the lines of, what is it that God desires for us? What is it that God intends for us in our relationships here on this earth? And so that's sort of the subject that I'll be talking on here this morning, right? And very simply, because I am persuaded with everything I have in my heart, I am persuaded looking at my own life story and having looked at the life story of so many other people and having studied this book and seen what God can do with a hand open to him, when people avail themselves and having seen what God can do there, I am convinced absolutely in my heart that God wants us to flourish. I believe that God desires it in his very core for us to flourish. And so this morning I want to talk about the subject of flourishing. Or if you're looking for a cooler, I don't know if it's cool, but if you're looking for a cooler title, I want to talk about hide and seek. Anyone ever play hide and seek? You used to? I don't think I played as much as I should have, but I like playing hide and seek. There was something about hide and seek, though, that any time you played and you found a spot, so if you played today, because we used to play every day, right? And you found a spot. Do kids these days still play?
Yeah.
They
yeah.
do? That's dope. They're not stuck on their iPhones. So what we used to do is that we would play every single day after school, 2 p.m. would come out and we'd go play hide and seek because our parents were not there. And in South Africa, it's pretty much warm about 75% of the time, right? So we're out and about and we're playing our games. And we would play hide and seek. And I noticed something about us. If I ever found a spot one day where no one would catch me from, right? So if I went to go hide in this spot and no one would catch me from this spot, the following day I'm going to go back to that same spot. Okay, until someone finds me. If no one ever finds me over there, I'm going to keep on going back to the same spot. And so how many of you know that if you go hide in the same spot over and over and over and over again, eventually your thoughts begin to wander towards something else other than the game? Because you don't think I'll ever get caught, right? So they don't know where I'm at. And eventually you just get this sense of, I'll chill out here. No one's going to find me. If you have your Bibles with you, please turn with me to Psalm 92, verse 17. There's a thought communicated in this scripture. If you can go back for me in the slide. Verse 13, sorry. So let's take it from verse 12. Psalm 92. Are you there? Are you there before me? I'm not there yet, so you gotta wait for me. Verse 12 says, the righteous flourish. Everyone say flourish. Like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. And this is the key verse for me. It says, they are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of God. The righteous, those who are in right standing of God, and we do not get into right standing with God by the behaviors we engage in. We get into right standing with God when we've opened our hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he comes to be Lord of our lives. The Bible then says that we are in right standing of God, and when we stand in right standing with God, the scripture says to us, we ought to be planted in the house of the Lord, and therein will we begin to flourish. Let's play with the word flourish a little. Flourish could mean anywhere between prosperity, well-being, mental stability, emotional stability, intellectual stability, social stability. Flourishing simply means it can go well with your life, and God desires that it go well with your life. And the Bible says when we root ourselves in the house of the Lord, when we house ourselves in the house of the Lord, we will flourish. We will grow in the presence of the Lord. We will grow in the courts of the Lord. The Bible says the earth belongs to the Lord and all that is in it. His house is the church. The earth is his. When we are planted in the church, his house, we will flourish in the world, the courts of our God. And that is the invitation that stands for you and me. That God says to us, do you desire to flourish? Do you desire that it go well with you? Do you desire that it be well with your family? Do you desire that you be happy? Do you desire that you find mental stability? Say, stay put. Stay rooted. Stay planted. Stay in the church. Stay in God's imperfect community. And watch over the course of time as flourishing comes into your life. And for very many of us, when we talk about flourishing, we are looking at external things and we're expecting external things to change. We are not expecting the internal changed to begin what would outwardly manifest itself as a changed life in the presence of the living God. This is why the Apostle Paul writes to us in Romans chapter 12, and he says, do not set your life according to the pattern of this world, but you be renewed in your mind and set forth and be conformed to how God does things. Because the idea of flourishing is that change must inwardly begin in order to outwardly manifest itself. So God invites us, and he says to us, come dwell in the house of the Lord. Come early and come dance in the house of the Lord. Come early and come greet people in the house of the Lord. Come early and come seek the well-being of others in the house of the Lord. Come early and come engage in fellowship with other people. As you continue to do that over the course of your life, what you will experience is flourishing. Mentally stable, emotionally stable, intellectually thriving, socially moving. The sense here is that God is interested in your well-being. And those who are planted in the house of the Lord, the scripture says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord, the scripture says, will flourish. They will experience his goodness. They will see the mercy of the Lord unfold in their lives. They will see beautiful things take place. I had a friend once, still have a friend. Still have a friend. I love him a lot, actually. I talk to him a lot. I talk to my South African friends a lot, right? So one day, I'm like 8 hours ahead of them, 9 hours. So I'm 9 hours ahead of them. No, they're 9 hours ahead of me. Yeah. So they're 9 hours ahead of me. Until about a couple of weeks ago, they became 10 hours ahead of me. Now I'm like, it's become more impossible for me to be talking to my friends, right? But I talk to them. I have one friend who's now a university professor, and he teaches literature. And I remember when he was growing up, his mother sort of passed away very early, and his mother took on what became a stepmother for him, right? And you know, as the story goes, she wasn't nice to him. For some reason, I don't know why people sort of fit this stereotype. And she wasn't nice to him, and he didn't like her either. And they sort of didn't like each other, didn't have a good relationship. And she always tugged with him or tussled with him for the father's heart, right? So they would always compete for the father's heart, and she didn't like him. And so eventually her behavior crossed over to a little abusive. So she started doing things that were like, that's funny. We don't like that. Don't do that to the kid, okay? And so he was very uncomfortable with us, and every night he dreaded going home because he just didn't like it. We would play, and then we'd have to go home, and he didn't like it. He's just like, I don't want to go there again. And so he would go there, and he would get there, and she would be abusive towards him. Things would just not be going well. And eventually he found a compartment in their house that he could hide in, So anytime he knew that she's going to come for him, he just would go to this compartment and he would hide each time. And eventually he's playing hide and seek now and cannot be found, and she could not find him. Eventually he figured, I need to do something when I get into this compartment. And he grabbed a book, right? Just like, bam. We were probably about 12, 13 at this time. And he grabbed a book. This guy wasn't a reader, I can guarantee you this much. He grabs a book and he starts reading every time he's in there. How many of you know that when you're hiding from something, you're running away from something, and you find something that takes your mind off that, right? So as he's hiding, he finds the book, and so it triggers other senses, and he sort of finds a way to run away, to hide, to escape the trauma that he's facing. So he's escaping the reality of his life. Little did he know, however, that as he continued to hide in this compartment, something was being birthed in him. Because from one book to the next, he went. Eventually, he just started falling in love with reading. And now he just sought to seclude himself in spaces where he could just read because he wanted to engage in the act of reading. Long story short is that eventually this guy also fell in love. From reading, he fell in love with writing. And it was in hiding that he found his first love in life. And today he teaches at a university where he teaches English literature. Something he found, hiding. There is a good type of hiding that you and I can engage in. And the hiding that we engage in the church is a good type of hiding. It is a type of hiding that points us to our purpose in life. It is a type of hiding that points us to the direction that our life will unfold into. And so he hid himself, and today he teaches. There's also, of course, a negative type of hiding. The type of hiding that you and I would not like, would not want to engage in. It is a type of hiding that the Bible says that the prophet Elijah engaged in, for instance, when he ran away from the lady Jezebel. Do you remember that? So he runs away from her because he's afraid that she is going to abuse him, she's going to kill him. But the sense there is that even in that type of hiding, God was with him. He showed up for him. And God shows up for him, for us, in any type of hiding that we have. I say all that to say to you, hide your heart in the presence of the Lord. And watch what he will do with it, because he will point you in a direction of absolute flourishing in your life. Because God desires that we flourish. Turn with me in your Bible, please, to John chapter 15. And watch what the Lord Jesus Christ says to us about this subject of being rooted, this subject of hiding ourselves, this subject of engaging ourselves in who he is, this subject of just saying, let me play hide and seek God while he may be found. If you can turn with me to John chapter 15. The Lord Jesus Christ begins there, and he says, John writes to us, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Right there, I could just remove myself out of that and say that is easily the most powerful form of scripture that you will hear anywhere. That Jesus says, your cleanliness does not come out of the things that you do. Your cleanliness comes out of the words spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ himself over us. And we know that he has spoken salvation, life, order into our lives. And so our righteousness has come from that. And then he says, abide in me. And I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. For apart from the Lord, you can do nothing. But when you abide in him, you will flourish. When you abide in him, you will bloom. When you abide in him, you will become that which you were designed to be. The true you will come out. The core of who you are will come true when we abide in who he is. And in abiding, there will be seasons of pruning. There will be seasons of taking off what doesn't look good on you anymore. I have a tree in my house, right in front of my house. If you went there now, you're not going to like me because you're going to think this guy's lazy. He's not taking care of his yard. This tree just bloomed. It just flourished because it's the fall, right? It looked beautiful. The trouble is that it's only good for a period of about 2 to 3 weeks. Afterwards, you need to cut and prune some of the leaves off. You need to take some of the branches off so that the thing can come and find life again, isn't it? If you don't do so, it looks bad. And that is the case with some of us over the course of time, that we stay planted, we stay rooted, then seasons of pruning come along and we feel uncomfortable. We think it's not going to work. In fact, we suppose that God does not want us to flourish. We don't understand. Hang on. He's doing a work that in season, fruit will be born from what is taking place in our lives right now. And so I want to encourage you, stay rooted, stay planted. Here in the house of the Lord's, you will flourish in the court of the Almighty. You who desire to be lawyers, you who desire to be artists, you who desire to be sportsmen professionally, you who desire to be social workers, you who desire to be world changers, cultivate your vision in a hidden place, the house of the Lord, and watch as you continue to cultivate that. In due season, the world will come to take notice of the skill that you have honed in private when no one saw you, when no one was looking at you. Because right here, in the house of the Lord, do we experience the greatest equalization? Because it is only in the house of the Lord where all of us are looked upon with absolute love equally. Yes. And none of us are based upon whatever gifts we may have or not have. But when we come out into the world, having honed our skills here at home, then we can show off on behalf of our God and say, oh, watch what the Lord has done. Abide in him, and he will abide in you, and whoever abides in the living God will bear much fruit, the scripture says to us. And so I encourage you, especially some of us that are very young in this place, abide. Stay rooted. Paul writes to the church in Colossians, and he says to them, let the peace of God rule like an umpire in your heart. Now, the terminology I understand for that is because I love football, right? Well, not your version of football. I like soccer, so like the real football. And because I love football, my understanding of that is like the peace of God ought to rule like a referee runs a match in a game. Whenever people have fouled others, whenever people have are offside or they've made a play that is unacceptable within the rules of the game, the referee blows his whistle and things stop. And Paul says to us, let the peace of God rule like an umpire in your life. What direction are you going in? What is the peace of God ruling? Who should I marry? What is the peace of God ruling? Who should I go into business with? What is the peace of God ruling? What steps should I take next? The scripture says that David inquired of the Lord almost at every instant in his life. So the question is, what is the peace of God ruling taking place? The man David lived many years ago, if you remember. And in one instance, he got caught in foul play. He got caught doing something wrong. And when he got caught doing something wrong, Jonathan walks up to him and Jonathan says to him, hey, David, there was a man who did this wrong thing. What should happen to him? And David responds to Jonathan and says, that man should be killed. And Jonathan looks at him and says, bro, that's you. And David was like, oh, my word. Found out. And to his credit, David repents.
That's right.
To his credit, David recognizes his sin for what it is and he repents. And when he repents, many in that nation, because you can imagine it, if you're a king of the nation and people know that you have done wrong, they want your head. They want you out. Yeah. If the leader of this room ever did something wrong, 95% of the people in this room will say out. We don't want you to be a leader anymore. But David, the scripture says, he continues to write and he continues to purposefully pursue the Lord. And in one instance in Psalm 27, he says, he will not rest until he sees the goodness of the Lord in his life. He will persist, he will continue, he will push on, he will endure until he sees the goodness of the Lord in his life. And we know for the rest of his life, he goes on to carry out the very exploits that God had sent him out to carry on. And he sees the goodness of the Lord to the ends where his sons become the ones that build the church that he had set his heart to build. And so we have this understanding that whatever season of your life you're in, whether you believe you're in a good season or a bad season, God desires for you to flourish. Whether you have failed spectacularly, and maybe someone doesn't know of your spectacular failures because only you know of them. You've hidden yourself in your room and you've done things that if people knew about them, you would be discredited, you'd be disqualified, and no one would want to touch you anymore. I want to say to you, God wants you to flourish. Stay rooted.
Yes.
And maybe some of you are walking up top the mountains and life is going very well for you. And you think, oh man, I've made it. I've done it. It's all cool. Do not depart from the house of the Lord. Do not depart from the presence of the Lord. Stay rooted. Because time is a great equalizer. Over the course of time, you're going to go through the high mountains. You're going to go through the depths of the valleys. And you want to consistently say, I am firmly founded in the presence of the Lord and I walk rooted in who God is. Stay rooted. The great invitation that Jesus gives to us, this great invitation is, oh, find yourself abiding in me. And as you abide in me, watch that I will abide in you. And flourishing will take place. You will bear fruit. You will produce in a manner that you never thought yourself capable of producing. You will watch yourself having talents you never thought you could have, ever. And in Jeremiah 29, our favorite verse in all of the Bible, isn't it? Jeremiah 29, verse 11, the Lord desires that it go well with you, that we may prosper. He has a great future set out before us. I am less interested in that verse as I am in verse 7. The entire story points us to this idea, and God says to them, you are under oppression. Things are not going well with your life. You are being abused at this moment. And then he says, but stay the course. Marry, have children, make life. In exile when no one likes you, enjoy life. What? But I love verse 7. Because in Jeremiah 27, verse 7, then God says to them, seek the flourishing, seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on his behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. Genesis Church, Spokane, seek the welfare of Spokane City. And as you continue to do that, watch God will protect your own welfare. Seek the flourishing of the city. Seek the best interest of the city. Do you know people that are not saved? Desire that they be saved and watch your own salvation come. Do you know people that are mentally tortured? Desire that they come to their sanity and watch your own sanity come. Do you know people in financial trouble? Desire that they be financially well and watch your own financial well-being come into play. Do you know people whose marriages are struggling? Desire that their marriages do well and watch your own marriage flourish. Do you know people going through difficulties, desire their well-being, pray for their well-being, actively pursue their well-being, and watch as the Lord will bring your own well-being into pass. And the scripture says to us, seek the welfare of the city you are in. Even if that city abuses you, even if that city does not like you, even if that city wishes you were not here, as is or will be the case with this church as you continue to flourish, you are going to have many in opposition of you. You continue to seek their well-being and watch the Lord say, it will be well with you as you continue to pray, as you continue to purpose for their well-being. And the scripture says we desire that we may flourish because that's what we all want for ourselves. But maybe we also should want it for others as equally as we want it for ourselves. Maybe we should also want it for the stranger next door as badly as we want it for ourselves. Seek the well-being of others. Seek the flourishing of others. Desire that they too may abide in the Lord just as you abide in the Lord. And watch what God will do in your own life. Oh, that they may be found in the house of the Lord. Oh, that we may come and dance together in the courts of the Almighty. Oh, that we may come and just chill and love on each other. Oh, that we may go and sit at coffee shops and just chat about what God is doing in our lives. Oh, that we may watch people's lives and say, there is a testimony of the Lord, and we testify of the goodness of the Lord upon that person's life. Oh, we may cry out in the difficulty of the oppositions of our day, and we may say, I will not rest until I see the goodness of the Lord in my own life. I will not rest until I see the hand of the Holy Spirit very clearly at work in my own lives. I will have lost heart until I believe the Lord will give me a child. I would have lost heart until I believe the Lord will give me my business. I would have lost heart until I believe the Lord will give me a career I wanted. I would have lost heart until I believe the Lord will let me get into the university of my choice. I would have lost heart, but I would continue to pursue, to trust God that this will take place. Oh, the Lord invites us to this moment of caring for one another. Oh, the Lord invites us to this moment of understanding we are beloved of God. This is what John begins in 3 John, isn't he? He begins the book, the chapter by saying to us, beloved, please pause for a moment and think on that word. You who are loved of God. God desires that it may go well with every single area of your life, just as it goes well with your soul. Just as your thinking is clear. Just as your sanity prevails. Just as your emotions can handle the stresses, anxieties of life, I desire that it may go well with every aspect of your life. Genesis Church, Spokane, God wants you to flourish. God wants you to do well. And that isn't found in monetary flourishing, although that's an important aspect of it. And that isn't external stuff. That is the radiance of knowing whose you are. And when you know whose you are no longer insecure about the well-being of others. In fact, you desire the well-being of others. You are that guy that's giving everyone a high five. You are that guy that's celebrating when some stranger wins The Voice and you don't know that person and you're like, I'm with you. You are that person that is rooting for a 17-year-old kid who's just made a professional sport career and they just stood up there and say, man, it's going to happen. You are that guy that's rooting for a 28-year-old who's been walking his whole life and life has been struggling. And eventually, at the twilight of his sporting prowess, now he gets a professional contract. And you are like, man, we believed in you. You are that guy who sees a single mother who has experienced all the hardships of life. And at the age of 55, eventually she has a startup business that goes boom. And she makes it in life. You are that person that is rooting for other people and you are telling them, I believe in you. And the source of all that is you are found.
Very good.
You have stayed the course. You have been rooted. You have walked the path. People might never know you. Your name might never be on any front page of any newspaper. But you've prayed. You've knelt down. You've believed for the well-being of the city of Spokane. You've believed for the well-being of the Pacific Northwest. You have sought, you have prayed to the Lord that he may bring about a revival unlike any other again. You have said, may the visitation of the Holy Spirit come again. And may he do in us a wonderful work that we may continue to spread it to all corners of the earth, as I know this church does. I want to tell you that God desires that you flourish. And in your flourishing, and in your flourishing, your city will flourish. And in their flourishing, the region will flourish. And in their flourishing, the nation will flourish. And in the nation's flourishing, the nations of the world will flourish. This is what Jesus says to us. He says to us, I must go to be with the Father. For one will come who will be a comforter. In many ways, one will come whose extension will go far beyond where I can. The Holy Spirit will come. And when he comes, he will send you on mission. He will send you on task. And you will go to this town that you are in. You will go to the town that is nearest to you. And eventually he answered by saying, even to the ends of the earth, you will go. 7 billion people on God's green earth, very many of whom do not know God or do not have a right view of what God thinks of them. When you ask them, who is God, who is Jesus, who are you? They answer the question, who am I? And they say, I'm a worthless being. And I bet you God is standing up there and he says, no, you're valuable.
That's right.
You are loved. You're a special person. Because God desires that you flourish. You believe that for yourself?
Yes.
And you eventually believe that for your city. May I ask everyone in this room please to close their eyes with me. If you can just bow your head and just close your eyes.